Good evening. Good evening, everyone. How are you tonight? This is Veronica Entwistle, and I'm saying to you, it's a crazy time out there. I don't know how many of you are following the election and the reflections that are coming up about the state of our society, I want to say. Some of the gurus or the great spiritual teachers these days are talking about amazing self-empowerments. It's just a stunning, but the amount of focus on ignorance or difficulty in our society or traumas and stuff is also on the increase. It's like everything is a very multidimensional vibrational stew pot of, what would we call it, possibility. What are we stewing? We're stewing vibrational reality, a new reality, bringing things forward. We're learning to move beyond the third dimension in some ways. And in other ways, in our society, it's kind of oddly weird. It's oddly traumatizing for people who are being held in place by daunted incomes and limited jobs and so on and so forth. And on the other hand, we have amazing inventions. We have things going on out there that could make reality a very, very pleasant thing for a lot of people. And then we have a whole lot of greed. Have you noticed that? There's a bit of like greed out there with people not believing in sharing, because if we share, good grief, what happens? We lose, right? Well, that isn't true. When you share, you don't necessarily lose, because as you and I all know, listening to this show, we know that you don't lose, because if you send your heart and your light out there and you really share, you're going to attract back more. And then everything moves up, change the energy, change the reality. To me, is when there starts to be this reciprocity, or when life starts moving in a kind of a I share, you share, we all share. All of that, what happens is it goes around. What goes around comes around, and it gets really, really wonderful. So here we go. I think we might have callers. Do we have callers already? Here's what I want to do. I want us to start off with a sacred geometric meditation. What's going on in your life? What is it you would really like? You would really like to create? I don't think I have callers. I think the message I got is from last week's calls, so don't worry about that. But when I was channeling with my guides and angels before the show, they were talking about talking to each one of you. I'm talking about the melee out there with the political stuff, with the greed, with the jostling that's going on all over the world for spoils, for trying to create peace, for trying to create war, for trying to create I get everything if you don't get any, and vice versa, and all of that stuff. There's a lot of you out there, and I'm one of these as well, who are really aching and crying to create a more equitable reality. Bernie Sanders is one too. Equitable reality for all of us. So even some of my more conscious friends go, oh, Bernie can't get anywhere because he can't have any impact on the banks. He can't have any impact on other havens of corruption that we're all hearing about. And I'm going, wait. Where's our metaphysics, you guys? Where is our love for people, transformation, change the energy, change the reality? You may not love Bernie Sanders, and I'm not trying to push him on you. Sounds like I am. But the reality is that he's talking about what you and I know is going on. He's talking about the corruption. He's talking about we can put our heads together. We can put our hearts together. We can put our voices together. We can put our intentions together. We can really make a difference so that whoever comes in to office, whoever has the underlying principles of a life for all, underlying principles of whatever the I'm Canadian, not American, and I'm not always familiar with the Constitution. But the Constitution was built to give everyone, as far as I understand it, was to give everyone the ability to have a lifestyle that helps them present their truth, to choose their own religion, to really help build communities and build lives for one another. And what's happening is a whole bunch of people are just fighting for power. Now, the thing that interests me is if you look back in time, and I have not read the Quran. I've learned a lot about the Bhagavad Gita and some spiritual tomes, okay? But I keep dropping back into the Bible because that's a book I did read quite a bit. And I didn't do Bible study like some people, but I have done Bible study. And I realize that the myth that's the foundation of our society is a very dog-eat-dog kind of a grueling myth. And the myth is all about, sacrificing lives, the women, good old Eve, she took a bite out of the apple of knowledge, and that screwed everything up for all of us. Come on. What kind of a myth is this that's going on? And when I always think of Adam and Eve and their two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. And I can't remember why, but I believe it's because of jealousy, competition, and some sort of greed, right? Well, is that not what's going on all over the world? And if you jump back into the Bhagavad Gita, which was supposedly done, somebody said 8,000 years ago, somebody else said it might even have been as far as 27,000 years ago, where it was like a minstrelized tale that went through people's to cultures to give us wisdom and perspective. And in that one, there's a battle. Okay, battle. Number one icon in the middle of our mythology. And even if you're not from India, that mythology has penetrated all of our species, just like the Bible has, just like the Quran has, just like Muslimism has, just like all these different religions that we all want to scream and yell at. Because one of the things that's happened in all of them is issues of control, domination, greed, wars over one another. We all know that, right? So here I am talking to you tonight about change the energy, change the reality. And what we have to realize, I was even talking about racism today, and I'm going, one of the things we have to figure out is deep within ourselves, right? How does jealousy impact you? How does your fear of loss of security impact you? When do you move into, in the human psyche, when do you move into those places of kill or be killed, the survival issues? I think it's a fascinating thing. Because sometimes when we talk about creating our reality, which I really believe we can do, sometimes it helps a lot, if not all the time, it helps a lot to see what mythology is creating you from a very deep subconscious level. What lineage is really pushing through you from a very, very deep cellular level? See what I mean? It's easy for us to be really cocky about what we think can be done. But I think we need to go inside of ourselves and truly examine what's going on in there. So as I started to say in this little monologue, I was thinking about racism today because it certainly is a very, very big subject. And another subject several of us were speaking about today was feminism. And I was realizing several things. One is the slaves were freed, in the 1800s, right? And women didn't get the vote till the early 1900s. But in the middle of the 1800s, there were more, who was it? I can't quote the name of the woman who told us this, but she was doing a lot of historical research and writing very famous historical books to help us be able to absorb them easier in today's language. But she was talking about people like Mary Baker Eddy, and I can't remember all their names, but a lot of women in the middle of the 1800s who really researched and changed, really established spiritual paths, and also became homeopaths and other very amazingly strong, intuitively based healing techniques and so on. In the meantime, we have the slaves being freed. We have women rising up and healing being an operative thing. And I think some of the women rising up were women of African-American descent as well. That was in the mid-1800s. Around the end of the 1800s, and I think I've got this right, the laws were created to stop. It was no longer legal to kill children for being bad or for being naughty, okay? And then in the early 1900s, women got the vote. So we're kicking around all this stuff about slavery, about the suffragette stuff, about feminism, about abuse of any kind, right? And I realize we are such babies. We come from a very abusive society, which is also another way of saying it is a very separative society. Hey, you're over there, you're different, so I get to pick on you because I have more prestige, more money, more privilege in this society, right? And we were kicking all that stuff around, and I was going, wow, I find it interesting to drop, and you might want to try this, drop deeply inside of myself and see what it is I feel and understand about African Americans, about Native Americans, about very poor people, about slaves, about, I don't know, any class of society, right? And, you know, if you drop in there, you're going to find yourself, let's go back to Cain and Abel. Let's go back to the Bhagavad Gita. Let's just take a look inside yourself and realize that you have, and I have, me, who I claim I'm not prejudiced at all, but I have certain lines drawn in there about what is valuable in being a human being. And I'll tell you what, I'm not always happy to discover it in there, but I don't think any of us can big mouth talk about how they should sort out this or they should sort out that till we drop into ourselves and ask to feel the ways that we ourselves are either prejudiced or where we judge different groups of people for whatever reason. Refugees, we judge the refugees because they might come and take my bread and butter, right? Isn't it kind of like that? We're just really, really a difficult species. Somebody was saying recently an interesting thumbnail, which is life in this cycle, life on this planet is kind of a stew of fear and insecurity. And it's your job and my job to consciously move ourselves up and out of that. And to do that, we get a lot of help. There are a lot of beings, there are a lot of very high, high beings available for you and I to get, what would you say, to be infused or imbued with the kind of light it takes to move up and over the reality that is a vibrational level of prejudice, of separation, you know, however you want to put it, right? I hope that makes sense to you, but it's really made me think about it a lot lately. I have some of the most wonderful clients in the world, of course, I believe, and I've talked to a lot of them for many years. I'm fortunate to have the kind of clients that are there for a long time, so we all get to grow together. But finding out how tricky it is, how difficult it is, I can't remember why I started to say all that. But anyway, I hope you're going to, I'm going to keep talking about you and I discovering where we hold ourselves back and where we keep ourselves separate from one another instead of feeling like we're all in it together. And oneness is very important. And then I drop back into fear and insecurity and rising out of that tempest into being true to ourselves and really understanding who we are and having the secure confidence, that sounds so rigid. I don't quite mean it that way, but having the inner security to recognize that there are beings and there is consciousness out there that can surround us and lift us and help us step out of the clotted realities that keep our brains kind of held down. And I really like us to do the sacred geometric meditation because it really helps us to move up and out of a believing in our own disabilities or a believing in our own inability to rise above that which is the dog-eat-dog melee. I love doing this show in many ways. I don't like to just talk all by myself. But, oh, I see that Kim is on line one. Oh, goody. We're going to talk to you, Kim. And then we're going to do our sacred geometric meditation and see if together, you and I, by working with our own inner self, we can rise and we can radiate at a higher level. I love us to do that. One more thought that the guides have been talking about through me, to me, before this show was that it's very, very important for us to learn what it is we ourselves want to do. And the reason for that is because so many of us are fraught with duties and all kinds of things that are telling us what we have to do and what the timelines are. But we can't forget the fact that deep down you want to process out, you want to parse what's going on in there, and you want to bring forward what is really true to you, because that's dharma. That's the purpose of your life. And that's where the healing is really amped up by those amazing beings of light that are around you and around me. The other thing about them is that they have tremendous amounts of love, which can really put wind under your wings. Hello, Kim, you're on the air. I love to talk to you.
Hey, Veronica, how are you?
I'm really good. We haven't talked for a long time.
Yeah, happy 2016.
Yeah, I know. I mean, holy mackerel, 2016. It sounds like it's in the future. Here it is today.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so
what's going on?
I was listening to the monologue in the beginning, and I'm really kind of still drawn to oneness, and like the whole kind of. Okay, I haven't gotten there yet, Veronica. I know it's a kind of a process on whatever elevator level I'm on, but...
we all are.
Okay. Yeah, right, we all are. But one of the things that's really kind of becoming really interesting to me is the Mandela effect.
Now,
do you know the Mandela effect?
No, okay, I don't.
Okay, the Mandela effect is basically...
Whose theory is it, or whose style is it?
Fiona Broom. She kind of came up with it, okay? And Cynthia Sue Larson kind of is connected to that, too.
I'm glad you phoned in, because you do great surveys for us.
Oh, cool. There are large numbers of people who believe that, and so there's a Mandela effect on Reddit, and there's a Mandela effect on Deanna Broom's site, and there are large numbers of people who remember that Mandela died in prison in the 80s, and I'm one of those.
Oh, that
people.
Mandela. I thought you said Mandala. Okay,
Mandela. Okay, so that he died, okay, and it's Bernstein Bears, not Berenstain Bears, and it's Sex in the City, not Sex and the City, and so there's all these little things, okay, like the Tank Man in Tiananmen Square died, no, he didn't die, so there's all these things that lots of people remember, okay, so one of the things like Wendy Kennedy and Nora, I'm blanking on Nora's last name, Harold, the whole Pleiadian thing. Okay. Human beings are creator beings.
Okay.
Human beings are creator beings. Diane Stein wrote Reiki Essentials, I don't know, in the late 70s, maybe. And basically she was playing with, and you can, you're intuitive and your guides can connect to this however you want to respond to it, but she was basically saying that she believed that she and her clients could change the past. Okay, so now what's happening is people are theorizing, and there's a guy named Alan Wainscott on Reddit, that actually what he remembers in the past is much more horrific than what kind of actually happened. Not much more, mildly more, less horrific. So
I don't know what that means.
Well, less horrific. Like, in other words, the theory is out there, Veronica, that people remembering a more horrific past that did really happen to them in one timeline. But what's happening is there's some sort of domino effect. We are changing the past. Now, no one's actually said that online. I mean, I haven't really... I believe that. That our present is holographically connected to the past, and that we as creator beings, somehow through this, every night we go to bed and we have this gigantic rallying board, voting board, what kind of consensus reality are we agreeing to, and it is literally changing the past so that certain things are getting better. And he goes into specific things about not being able to find an image of a burning Vietnamese girl in the Vietnam War and not being able to find these images that he remembers in school about the Holocaust and, you know, certain things. And he got really flamed for those.
What's his name?
Alan Wainscott, I think.
Okay.
And he's just a Reddit poster. So anyway, so what I'm trying to say is we're all one. I think that Bhagwan, even though I'm not sure about you because I haven't really been listening because my schedule, I'm just tired on Thursday nights, but I think that there were a lot of Westerners when he finally went out in the Fat Songs, he finally said, "You are God. Your connection to God."
Well, wait. Your phone is tuning in and out, so come back in.
Sorry. Yeah, I know. I heard it too. It was interference. I don't know where it's come from. But when he finally said, "You are God," right? When he finally said in his darshans or satsangs, whatever, he finally said, "You're God. Your connection to God. You are God."
That's Amma Bhagavan?
Yeah.
The oneness?
Yeah. Yeah, Bhagavan. Right. So when he finally said that, I don't know if you kind of left it a little bit, but I think that there are people, like, I think unity completely separated at that time from oneness. Unity, like the Unity Church, in that's when Patricia Keel got punched off of Unity FM. Like, she got kicked out. Like, she couldn't do her stuff in there anymore.
Because we are God, because of that?
That's what I think. Yeah, that is what I think. And I heard, I have found a lot of less oneness stuff in the West since when he started saying that to China and to Italy and to Germany and being translated. And I was listening to everything he was saying. I was listening online, YouTube. Once he started saying that, I couldn't find oneness as much in the West. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought, well, it's kind of a challenging idea because Christians are traditionally taught it's blasphemy, right? To say that you're God, right? So, but I guess the point I wanted to make was there really is, Veronica, only one of us here. I'm 100% sure of it. There's only one of us here, and we are the creators of our universe. And somehow there's some sort of, like, I read one of the things about Mandela and all this is that these theoretical physicists kind of post occasionally, which gets really interesting, you know, quantum theory and string theory, M3 theory, all that, multiple universes. Somebody said that it's some sort of, I forget whose theory it is, but it's relatively new, about this reflection of light across the surface of a black hole, and it creates billions of universes, and they're all like just 1 degree separated from each other. And so everything, just like Dolores Cannon said in 2002 or 2005, whatever, it really is all happening all at the same time and every single possibility. You have coffee, no, tea, you have two sugars, no, one sugar, you have milk, every single possibility. I don't know, but it's really fascinating, and I think it's really, there's some sort of thing that's really all true, and it's kind of interesting, and it does put the I mean, you and I are sharing a reality. I get that. But I also get that simultaneously we're also the same person. We are the same person. It's just that we're experiencing our individual lives differently, and we're taking on these individual different personalities and egos, but that really you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, but we're really one. I really do believe that.
You know, I think I have some problem, partly because I'm brutally honest with myself. So the reality is I believe what you're saying. I really love that. And I really wander in all kinds of dimensional stuff. But on the other hand, I go, rising in Libra, you know. And on the other hand, I go, huh. But how can, in this moment, can I be one with Kim? Sometimes it's like saying everything's an illusion. How can I enter that membrane, go through that membrane, through the looking glass, and really be with that? So it isn't a great concept that I haven't earned the right to really comprehend yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I was thinking that this morning too. Yeah, exactly, Veronica. And that's one of the reasons I called, I think. Yes. And actually what my intuition said back to me, and yeah, you know, I kind of talked to myself in my head, right? I talked to my angels and guides and talked to my body, David's angels and guides, and talked to everybody and my ascended master self, and I talked to everybody, archangels, I talked to everybody. And the message I got back was, Kim, you're trying to think about this in your ego analytical mind way, and you just need to get into your heart and accept the truth of it.
Well, that's very good. It still doesn't explain what I'm. No, I'm not confused about it as much as, and
funny.
I did not pull away from oneness in a way. I kind of drifted in a different way, which was I moved. I found, you know, I just found ways in which I was kind of steered away from it. It's more like a very intuitive thing. And I still go back to it and love it. But my intention would be to study some different things now. So I don't know what I think about it. I just know I felt more distance from it.
Yeah. Well,
that's okay. I've had a lot of exploration in my life, and that isn't abnormal. It's not a judgment.
Right. And I think that ultimately what Michael Klingerman says is that there has to be something, okay? There has to be something. Listen to lots of these yogis, listen to lots of swamis, right, on YouTube and stuff. And there has to be something to this whole, you know, computer simulation, big video game kind of thing when all of these yogis can be taught easily, okay, and you know this more than even I do, taught easily that in a certain degree, the future is above, you know, right above our crown chakras. Anybody can be taught to read it, and it's so specific. And then all these, what are they called, the nardis, or the
the intersection points?
Those little wooden palm leaves that they have in India that were written millions of years ago that tell people's future.
I've heard, yeah, but I don't know much about those.
But really, like, magic, like, how did they, it's almost like the God code, you know, it's like God was definitely a mathematician, right? So it's sort of like that, where they just, the readers read these leaves, and it's like, they know the name of your mother-in-law, they know the name of your first wife, they know your name of your third son was, you know, born disabled. I mean, magic stuff, like, how in the world would they know that? And it's like, yeah, it's all there, see? And it's pretty interesting. But what I was going to say about one is, oh, Michael Klingerman, that interview is so, so important to me. I really listen to it a lot. And I do believe.
Oh, good.
Like, yeah. And I do believe that he says something there about somehow it's our ego that makes these little pieces, these one moments. It's really more like a film strip, he said at one point, that it's like these series of images or series of film strips that don't have any meaning at all, and we're the ones that are kind of giving them meaning. to me, that's really, really
now. So the interesting thing about that is that giving them meaning is like putting a little pin in them and stabilizing their reality in our minds, right?
Well, somehow lighting them in a way that gives them continuity, that it's our attention, right? It's our attention and intention that puts the glass, through the glass, however, right? I think I would highly recommend it to think about someone like Fiona Broom. It might be Boom or Bloom. It's
B-L-O-O-M?
I think it's B-R-O-O-M-E, Fiona. And it's the Mandela Effect site. She would be a great person to have on the
Paradigm Shifters. I'd love to do that.
About reality.
So she talks about the Mandela Effect. So what... And
she
what
knows,
was that? Is that something
runs,
that,
she
let me make it up, that radiates consciousness
runs,
all over the world? Is that what that does?
No. She runs the site. She established a website in 2010. She was at Dragon Con or Comic Con or whatever, in the back green room. And she was talking to people. And there were a bunch of people in the room who remember that Mandela died in the 1980s. And they could clearly connect it to other memories in their lives that they knew could not be wrong. Does that
okay.
make sense? So she, at that time, she began to realize, didn't you know it was the Bernstein Bears, not the Berenstain Bears? Or don't you remember it was Sex and the City or life was like a box of chocolates? Or you build it, they will come. Well, all those are wrong. Like, do you remember Jiffy peanut butter? There's no such thing as Jiffy peanut butter. And you can do a research thing on the internet, and you can find that out true. There's no such thing as Berenstain Bears. It's Berenstain Bears, A-I-N. It's always been A-I-N. You can read the interview with his son and with it, you know, et cetera. So what she discovered and noticed in 2010 and what she's got on her website is this effect that there's this massive amount of people who remember things that never happened in this timeline. Now, that's the main theory. The main theory is there are multiple timelines and that they're intersecting and rippling somehow. Now, people are talking about CERN, people are talking about DARPA, people are talking about HARP, people talk about chemtrails, all that's connected somehow on fringe. But Fiona tries to stay away from any kind of conspiracy theory, and she really heavily edits the website. But they do a lot of talking about like time travel and the potential of, and I don't know. It's really interesting. She'd be great to have on your show, I think.
I'd really like to talk to her. I did an interview with a fellow named John Mazel. He's a firewalker. It's the second time he's been on the show. But I was absolutely touched and in agreement with something I didn't understand, which is one of my favorite things. When you don't really know it in your intellect, sometimes you know it more in your intuition. But in any case, he was talking about if you're falling and you know you're going to be really hurt or it's really desperate, you're falling a distance and your whole life flashes before you, as they say. He says it this way, is that you move through a kind of a fear membrane. I don't know if I'm quoting this exactly right, but you'll get the idea. That you move through a membrane of fear. And when you move through that, there is no time. And that all things are different and all things are available at that time. And most of us don't know how to go in and out of that consciously. And he claims to learn to firewalk is learning to do that to a degree, if that makes sense. Now, I'm not changing the subject. I'm saying to you, our abilities, I know this is so, that our abilities to step out of third dimensional edicts like time, space, gravity, and all that, we have access to that. It's just, it's really hard to get the portals going, I think. That's my complaint about it. And often they happen through, say, near-death experiences, that sort of thing, right?
One of the theories about this whole thing is that, like, people are saying, well, there was a disaster, and there's a higher God hand that every time the disaster happens, all those of us of the right frequency go into a new reality, or there somebody has a near-death experience. Nope, they just wake up in a new reality. Instead of going to the light, they get a chance. For some reason, they're given the chance, and they're popped into the closest timeline to where they're alive. So in other words, they even go through the car accident, and they wake up in the hospital, and they're like, oh, I should have died. And then everything around them's changed, like including they're not quite married to the same person. They're not, you know, they don't live in the same house or whatever. Really interesting. Really interesting.
So then we have our walk-ins and all of that, too. I think this is a very interesting subject. It's not an easy subject to work out in a few minutes conversation, but I do think it's great cogitation material. I love it.
Yeah, me too. So just thought I'd. And the other thing is, while I'm talking about Paradigm Shifter, I do love that show so much, Veronica, and I listen to it on podcasts, and I listen to it online, too.
Thank you.
There was a guy that you had. Yeah, thank you. There was a guy that you had, and he talked about he was maybe an Eastern European veterinarian, and he talked about, like, the spirituality and the power of, like, the sentience of horses. Do you remember that interview?
And was that an old one?
Out there. It was pretty old. He's so far out there, I was like, wow. It's at least 3 or 4 years old.
Oh, heavens, I can't even remember. The sentience of horses.
He talked about how there are these powerful, magnificent beings. And his background was actually in veterinarian. But he was a very thick Eastern European accent, not English first language.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
I forget his name. He was a very intricate fellow to keep. Yes. I remember it was a few years ago. I wish I could remember his name. I had totally forgotten that one. Thank you very much. We should get that up, and I should put some labels on the podcast title so people know how to find it, right?
Yeah, right. That would help sometimes.
Well, and I want to say one other thing about what you just said, which is that if you go through Facebook, and I know a lot, I try to go through it regularly because I've got this book that I've published, right? And I want to sell it and I want to use Facebook and all that.
Absolutely.
But part of me just rolls my eyes because I spend so long going through all this stuff. But one of the things that hits all those, the contributions people make, one of the things that strikes me more and more is that the amount of communication with animals is growing a million miles an hour. And I really think that animals' ability to communicate with us, or us to be able to get across that gap that used to exist between animals and people for whatever reason, I think has been crossed. And I think people and animals are sharing in on levels they never did before.
I totally agree with you. Yeah,
and absolutely. I think here's the other thing, Kim, is my thing. And then I have to say goodbye because I have to do the meditation group. I feel that it has a lot to do with these incredible, and Bhagwan talked about that as well, these incredible downloads of this golden energy that is coming through the universes.
Yeah,
and I can see it. I have seen it for way before I ever learned about oneness blessing. And I kind of take it as, it's like acupuncture in a sense, is that it's coming through into our species. And with a little intention, we can use it very quickly to transform our relationship to our subjective reality and our own energy fields. And we can really advance in a huge, huge way should we take advantage of it. And to me, advancing would be breaking the time-space barriers and being multidimensional.
Oh, absolutely, Veronica. Yes, Seth in the Jane Roberts book, in one of his dream books, he said that all of our visions and dreams are cathartic, in a sense that we have these doomsday visions partly in order to ensure that they don't happen in this reality. I mean, he says it explicitly, not again and again. He only says it one time that I can find in one book. But I do totally, 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 totally believe that. Absolutely.
Well, So I'm glad you called in, because that just reminds me that right now we ought to be using very, very high intentions all the time, because we can literally change this reality.
Right.
We can change the elections.
That's right. Oh, absolutely, Veronica. We will change the election. I guarantee you, you and I will be together. We can be talking in a year from now. We will be traveled into a timeline where Hillary is indeed president. Okay, and it's not going to be the guy with the weird finger on the button. That's not going to be him. Okay, so you don't have to worry. Okay, it's going to be the first woman president. Okay, cool. Now, real fast, Sherry Swatek is known for her dolphin energy.
And what's her name again?
I think it's Swatek. It's Swatetek. And I think, but she... Mm-hmm. She is known for dolphin energy and dolphin podcasts, and that she sometimes calls them that. So search dolphin podcast, and there's free ones on there, but meditations and stuff. But she believed that last July, I think, June or July, that this dolphin grid came to the oceans first, and like dolphin creator kind of energy, like not literally dolphins, but the energy that created the dolphins. And that this grid has encompassed underneath the ocean and the entire land and the world and everything. And I will tell you that I'm not as intuitive as you, but I am kind of highly visual. And occasionally I do, too, catch these rains of geometric grids and symbols and images that are just totally beautiful in color, totally golden, and just blanketing us all the time. Absolutely. Yay.
Yay. And okay, so if the geometrics change our reality, and my understanding is that we're getting these incredible downloads that are multidimensional, universal frequencies, they do include reality influencing or reality creating geometrics, right? Some, I'm going, whoa, I'm almost spinning because it's all the same.
We are God. We are our own Antaryaman, or whatever you say it in Indian. Yes, absolutely. We are creator beings. That's the biggest secret of humanity. Now, I don't believe in all this Archon stuff and reptilian thing necessarily, like in purpose, like, you know, conspiracy thing.
Yeah, but if we're creating it, that we're creating that too.
Exactly. We're creating everything. We're the creator beings. We're the creator beings.
We've sure screwed up a few things, so we'll see what happens now. But we can uncreate. If we've created it, we can uncreate it.
Absolutely. That's what I believe, too. Absolutely.
Well, I'm sure glad to talk to you, Kim. It's been a while, and it's time
did. You too. You too. Thanks, Veronica. Have a blessed evening.
Bless you for that call. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Take care. All right, everyone. We don't have very long, so let's do our sacred geometrics, unless you're going to call in, and I would take your call first. So let's take a few deep breaths. Now, Kim's right. We are, I don't know if I put it in, I am God, but I do think we all have the divine within us, and tapping that and moving together into a unity is probably my way of interpreting some of what's being said out there. So let's take a few deep breaths. Good. And above your head, about a mile or 2 miles, a golden ball. Below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop from the upper golden ball down through your spine into the lower golden ball, a golden filament. Good. So you're skewered. You're on a skewer, right? And have that golden skewer run through your body, mind, and from the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a gold pyramid. And upside down, another gold pyramid, but its lower point goes into the lower golden ball. Push the pyramids together, and there they are, creating a huge multidimensional diamond. Got that? And inside the diamond, create a crystal ball. Bring your divinity up and create this crystal ball. And the outside edges of the crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your diamond. And inside of that, there you are, and you're in a star tetrahedron, or your Merkaba. Your Merkaba is your vibrational vehicle through which you move from this dimension to that. So it's like a big star. If you stick your arms out and your legs out and all around the lines are filled in and you have a big star, I want you to spin and spin and spin in that star. Remember, it's your vehicle to shift dimensions. Spin and spin and spin. And as you do, you spin and spin. And in front of you, you see this beautiful screen. And on that screen, you start creating some little movies. And the first movie, and I said to you, you want to become what you want to be. So in the first movie, see yourself becoming what you want to become. And in my case, I always say the same thing. I always want to be multidimensional, consciously multidimensional. And I have some of that going. And now wrap that in light. When you find yourself becoming in your vision what you want to become, wrap it in light. Move it over to the side. And now the second screen, you're going to create yourself doing whatever product you want to do. Is it a book? Is it a family? Is it a round the world travel? Is it multidimensional travel? Is it the kind of travel that moves you out of the third dimension and helps you understand, for example, the Mandela effect that Kim just talked about? Or is it that you want to be more practical? You have some sort of, I don't know what is more practical, but in any case, you have some sort of drive to create a project. Maybe you'll start a school. Who knows? Now I'm yawning, and that usually means that I've taken on something. So maybe people don't know what it is they want to create. And in this movie, I want you to see all the resources coming, whether it's time, space, money, place, people, friends, resources, anything you need to create your project. That's right. And you see all the pieces coming to you easily and effortlessly, and your ability to receive them easily and effortlessly. And when your project is developed and your project is happening, see in your vision that you go, woohoo, and you high-five yourself. And then you see all the time, the space, the resources that it's going to take to maintain your project for a while. Good. Excellent, excellent. And as you see all of it being able to be maintained, then love it, bless it, wrap it in light, move it over to the side. And now remember, you and I have amazing consciousnesses around us. We also are tapping into source energy, which is available for all of us because you come from source, so do I. Good. And now I want you to reach up with your mind and request that those beings of consciousness that are specialists in healing come down. And we want at least 9 of you to stand around our table, our healing table in our galactic healing center. And then each of us is going to lay on that table. Let's go right now. I'm going to lie on the table and so are you. We're not on the same table, right? Lay on the table and look around you at these beautiful healing beings and ask for what it is you'd like. What is it would you like them to help you with? Good. All right. And then you may feel their energy. Yep. You may feel what they're doing to help you. Or you may not. You may visualize it, or you may absolutely just feel it. And if you don't know what you need, ask them and they'll tell you something that you need help with. And now I want you to wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and let it and your healing team will go with it. And they can continue the healing whilst you're over there on the side. And now we're going to bring in a fresh table and fresh guidance. All right, now on that fresh table, I'm going to bring in one of my friends who has a lot of chronic pain. And her life has been really, I have no other way to put it, but it's been hell for years. She's in terrible pain a lot of the time, and she works hard on herself, and she works hard taking advantage of the kinds of healers she learns about on BBS Radio. So good for her. And many healers do try to help her, but sometimes the healing seems to be locked down. The need for healing seems to be locked down by some kind of karmic or cellular thing, or perhaps a resistance on various people's part. So she lies there. Oh, okay. And she's got a lot of things. For example, teeth. Remember, teeth are an extension from the brain. Good. All right. And these healing team is working very hard on her. And now let's wrap her in light. And they're helping ease some of her inner, locked down, frustrating kinds of attitudes. Now we've got a new table here and a new person coming in. And there's several different tables. We're going to bring in several different tables. And we've got three different people here, all of whom are having family problems. Okay. And in these family problems, what's really intriguing is that there's a lot of soul connections. And in those soul connections, it can be enigmatic, very confusing. Why can't I get along with so-and-so? Why can't so-and-so get along with me? Why do mothers and daughters have such a difficulty? What about, there's so many questions that we want to have answered. But sometimes knowing how preposterously deep and multidimensional it can be, when the higher guidance comes in, they can vibrate right through those layered connections, can't they? So let's ask them to help all these three adults who have adult children discomforts or difficulty with their children, and all of them want to improve how they handle the children. Good. And the healing teams are saying, in many cases, it's working with the base of your spine. In many cases, it's working with the deepening of your soul's intentions. You don't want to just make it easy in this life. You really want to unhook a very deep, almost a dementing kind of push-pull that goes on in people that is unfathomable, makes no sense. So we're asking the healing teams to please advise us on how to unhook some of these deepening, seemingly tragic connections that had to happen. You know that when you're going to have a baby and it's going to come through your soul's history. My goodness. So let's wrap those in light and send it over to the side with the healing team there. Good. And now we're going to reach up with our minds as a sculpting tool and bring in some very amazing golden light. I always see it as a big salmon-y color. And we're going to bring it down through the top of your head, spin it around in your head, in your neck, in your heart, and have it run down your arms, out your hands, so that your hands are just buzzing with this absolutely amazing light, which we know is being enhanced lately throughout the universes. And have that light pouring off your hands, and in your imagined reality or in your visualization, pat the various parts of the world where you know there's extreme sickness, poverty, loss, and pain and punishment to the animals because of our egregious demand for resources, for money, not necessarily to heal the planet, but just for our own money. Yeah, and there's a lot of extinction going on, animals becoming extinct. Let's use that energy to see if we can. And maybe they're supposed to be extinct, so I have a great deal of humility when it comes to asking the universes and God and our divinity to change the way things are going on. If there is global warming and the animal cannot survive in the new kind of atmosphere, then so be it. See, and that's not because I'm cold. It's because I don't really think anything should have to live in an inclement environment. Many people do, but I don't think that's advisable. But in any case, you and I know, and if Kim is right, and so am I and other people, if we know that things can be healed and changed, let's do that. Let's have that energy coming down through the hands and have it sent out through the hands to pat various parts of our planet. Good. And have it circle round and round, and the planet come back up through the hands, flow up the arms, whirling and whirling in my arms so that my giving and receiving is enhanced by a cleansing process. It rolls into my heart, circles round and round, moves up through the neck, up through the head, and straight back out into the great central sun. And I think our time is pretty much up. So I'm going to jump back into my star tetrahedron, you two, and we're going to spin and spin and spin. And then we're going to high five one another. Here we are spinning and spinning. Jump out here onto the planet. High five one another. And there you have it. I really love talking to you all on Radiance by Design. I'd love to hear back from you. What do you think about paradigm shifters? What do you think about people who are changing dimensions? What do you think about your life and the election? What's going on? So please write to me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Send me an email. Or give me a call, 520-360-2102. I'd love to hear from you, get feedback about the show, know how you are, what you are, who you are. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. Oh, by the way, next week's Paradigm Shifter is pretty interesting. We have Maz Sahadi. And he's got a very, very stunning way of doing healing work. A couple of near-death experiences, and that guy was off and running. So you can look him up, M-A-S, and then it's S-A-J-A-D-E, I believe. And he's going to be up Tuesday night at 8 o'clock for Paradigm Shifters, followed by podcasts of the same thing. So tune in. I know you're going to really enjoy it. Thank you for those of you who give me feedback on the shows regularly. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Good night, everybody. Much love to you. And remember, we can create. So let's send love out there and let's all grow together and become multidimensional consciously. Good night.